listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary with host Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. I'm your host, Peggy Hartshorn, Chairman of the Board of Heartbeat International, that advances life-affirming pregnancy help around the world. And we have a particularly important or interesting program for you today, and we're focusing on a question that maybe you have thought about. Maybe you've heard that young people today are more pro-life than ever. Why is that? Why are our young people more pro-life than ever? That's an exciting change, because often it was the younger generation that was more pro-choice, more pro-abortion. And now when we say they're more pro-life than ever, they are more against abortion than ever. They may not have fully understood the full meaning of pro-life. Pro-life meaning in of course, Catholic teaching, more than simply being against abortion, but also being for the respect and dignity of the person from conception until natural death. Young people today, though, are very much against abortion. Now, that's interesting. Why is it happening and how is it happening? And I believe it, we can really see it particularly at work within the family. And so today we have a guest that's going to talk about this issue with me. We represent two different parts of the pro-life movement. And my guest today is Mike Gonadakis, who is here representing Ohio Right to Life. And of course, that focuses right now particularly on legislative, political, judicial areas of work in the pro-life movement. And the way I kind of look at that part of the pro-life movement in connection with the work that I do with pregnancy help, sometimes it makes sense to say that the right to life arena works at pro-life from the supply side. They try to limit the supply of abortions in this country, with a goal to eventually making abortion illegal. And of course, they do that through legislative and political and judicial activity, as well as education. And with Pregnancy Help that I represent, we represent the demand side of the work. We're trying to eliminate the demand for abortion through life-giving pregnancy help. Once people have that love and support that they need, they don't choose abortion for the most part. So Mike and I are representing two kind of areas of the movement. I want to welcome Mike to the program. Thank you, Mike, for being with us today.
Thank you, Peggy, so much for having me. It's a blessing to be here.
Let me briefly give you a better introduction than I did earlier. Mike Gonadakis is in his 10th year as the president of Ohio Right to Life, and he is an Ohioan through and through. Went to Ohio State University, got his BA in political science, and then a JD, a law degree from University of Akron School of Law, and was admitted into the bar in 1999. And from there, he has had wonderful experience in both the private and public sector, starting his career with State Auditor Jim Petro, and then he practiced law in Columbus with a private law firm, specializing in the areas of national and state government affairs, healthcare law, which is particularly relevant to what he's doing in Ohio Right to Life, and administrative law. And he's worked also in political campaigns. So he brings a wonderful wealth of experience to this job. And also, as we'll talk about a little bit in our program too, you and your wife, Amy, have two adopted children.
Yes, ma'am. We do. We're very blessed to have Olivia and Isaac in our lives.
That's wonderful. And my husband and I have two adopted children too, a boy and a girl.
What a blessing. Yes.
Ours came along a lot before yours did. There's a little generation gap between you and me, Mike. But anyway, welcome. And just let me say, Ohio Right to Life has had some really important victories in the last few years here in the state of Ohio with your effort to decrease the supply supply of abortions, particularly in regulating abortion clinics. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. But I'd be remiss if I first didn't say thank you for all that you've done for the pro-life movement in Ohio over your career and your husband and the Hartshorne family. And, you know, we have, what, over 125 or more pregnancy centers in Ohio. There's only 7 abortion clinics, 7 too many, but we have so many options for women because of your leadership, Peggy, and your husband's leadership. I mean that sincerely from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for all you've done. So I wanted to make sure I said that first.
Well, thank you. Well, all parts of the movement are absolutely essential in bringing us back to God's perspective on the value of human life. Yes. So thank you for what you do too. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you. And I'll tell you, in Ohio here, you know, we are ground zero for the abortion battle and helping women. You know, the nation looks to Ohio whenever there's a major legislative victory or issue. The New York Times to the Los Angeles Times to CNN is here in Ohio and they're reporting on it. Just recently, we passed our Down syndrome abortion ban bill and now 6 states in the Midwest have introduced the same bill.
Wonderful.
So if it can get done in Ohio, we can do it in Pennsylvania. We can do it in Michigan and so on. And so
forth. So
we've come a long way in Ohio. We haven't won anything. Tragically, there were still 20,000 abortions in Ohio last year. Think about that. 20,000 babies lost their life due to it's sanitized. It's called choice, which we know it's not choice. But the good news is we're at the lowest level of abortions in our state's history. In the mid-80s, where we were averaging 50,000 a year, tragedy. Mm-hmm. 20,000, still tragedy, but we've cut that in half, and we continue to decrease
year.
And I think we'll get into why in a little bit. In 2011, we had 17 abortion clinics in Ohio. Today, we have 7. 7 too many, but we're working and we continue to work, and Lord willing, we'll get to zero on both fronts, abortions and abortion clinics. So we're headed in the right way. You know, the work that we all do, you know, we always say in the pro-life movement, it takes everybody. It takes the sidewalk counselor. It takes 40
right.
days for life. It takes all those amazing volunteers at pregnancy centers. It takes Ohio Right to Life and Columbus Right to Life and so on and so forth. All of us together and doing that, serving the Lord, we continue to make advancements for the good.
Absolutely. And it takes the family. And that's what we're going to be focusing in on today in our program. But before we get into that, Mike, you just also fairly recently, there's been a victory in the Ohio Supreme Court upholding one of the laws that was passed. Well, that was pretty exciting.
It was just very recently, as a matter of fact, the Ohio Supreme Court ruled on 2 abortion-related cases. They rarely rule on our cases.
Right.
They rarely get to the Supreme Court. And we won 5-2. It wasn't 4-3. It wasn't razor thin. I mean, we won super majority, and the court
right.
said, look, these laws that the legislature passed and the governor signed are constitutional.
Yeah.
We can hold abortion clinics accountable, make sure they follow health and safety regulations, and we won on both fronts. And you know, praise the Lord, it was amazing. And by passing these laws, not to get in the weeds, but by doing this, we continue to shrink the footprint of the abortion industry in Ohio, because if they can't meet health and safety standards, their doors shouldn't be open, and they simply can't do it.
Right.
So
that's exciting.
Lots of victories in the General Assembly, lots of victories in the court, but we still, you know, there's no parades. We still have a lot of work to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, the pregnancy help movement, we have a case going to the Supreme Court, which we believe, legal experts believe, will uphold our freedom of speech, you know, in various cases. And it happened here in Ohio, actually, about 20 years ago. We had one of the first cases where our freedom of speech in being free to say in our advertising what we do rather than what we don't do. There are people who want us to say we do not perform abortions. We do not refer for abortion or contraception. They want us to put that in our advertising, signage in our buildings and in our treatment rooms. And this case will go to the Supreme Court, and we believe will be upheld that we do have a freedom of speech. And of course, our freedom of religion as well. So it's an exciting time. It's an exciting time in the movement. But within families, and here's where we want to focus our attention, Mike, as we're talking to here today. Within families, families are absolutely essential in this effort to bring more and more of a pro-life attitude, more and more of a pro-life ethic into our world today. Families are absolutely essential. And it's exciting. I think you see the same thing that I do, that families are in the forefront of raising up this generation of pro-life people today. And in fact, one of the signs that these young people like to carry is we are the pro-life generation, right? So let's talk about how our families, and maybe a lot of families listening today, you know, they may be thinking, well, I should do more for pro-life. I wish I could do more to fight abortion. Well, guess what? Within the family, this is crucial, what you are doing today in raising the pro-life generation. So one of the things that occurred to me in this today, Mike, is adoption within families today. There aren't as many infant adoptions as there were before abortion became so prevalent in our culture. And that's sad because adoption is a beautiful, beautiful alternative. But we do have many adopted children in our families today. Some of them are from international adoptions. Some of them are adoptions of special needs children, some adoptions of older children as well. That sends a real message. Tell me about your story with your two adopted children, Mike.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more with everything you just said. And I think the adoption movement in the United States and in Ohio is one of our greatest tools to continue to grow our pro-life culture in our families. You know, our daughter Olivia came home when she was 7 months old from Guatemala City, and
wonderful.
We brought her home from an orphanage. And our son Isaac was born, he came home when he was 3 days old from East Cleveland. So we did mm-hmm. it, one domestic, one international. And we have a very diverse family. Our son's African-American, our daughter's obviously Hispanic, Latino, and I'm Greek, and my wife's American. So, you know.
Well, you're all American.
Indeed. We call her American.
She's
maiden
European?
Name. Yeah.
American.
There you go. Her maiden name is Day, and she went to Gonadakis, so she's from Southwest Ohio. So we like to say we're the modern family, you know, mm-hmm. in some respects. On our street, we live in Dublin, Ohio, a suburb of Columbus here, and there are five families on our street that have cultural diversity through adoption in their family.
Wonderful.
Of all different countries, of all different places in the United States. So, you know, that is one of the greatest things, because you'll see the children in my kids' school. My kids go to Hilliard Public Schools, and you know, the kids will come up and innocently ask, you know, why is your skin color different? It gives mm-hmm. me a great opportunity to say, well, God brought our family together, and right. I have it openly. I talk to it in public schools all the time, and how God put our family together, and you see the little light bulbs going off in the kids' heads, and I think that's so important to ingrain that in our youth, that there are children out there, whatever their circumstances are, you know, whether it's a single mom, a family, whatever those situations are, that are willing to place their child, as opposed to going down the alternative route, which is to a Planned Parenthood, and we know what the outcome of that is.
Mm-hmm.
So we always say at Ohio Right to Life that we believe 99% of societal's problems can be solved if we just have a stronger family.
Absolutely.
Family unit. Whatever the issue is, if you really think about that and drill down, the family unit can cure almost every problem that we're facing as a society today.
Absolutely. And the family modeling the love of children and the welcoming of children. You know, Planned Parenthood's old motto used to be, every child a wanted child.
Yeah.
Well, what happens when you know that your worth is dependent on whether someone else wants you?
Yeah.
That's actually a very negative message, that your worth is dependent on someone else wanting you. Mm-hmm. No, our worth is inherent, you know, and that's why we talk on this program particularly about the family as a sanctuary of life. This is where people come to know that they are loved no matter what. You know,
absolutely.
Family is a place where I can make mistakes. I can be sinful. That family still loves me and can forgive, and we can rebuild relationships. And this is what we live in our families every day, isn't it, Mike?
it is. And that's why we have, as you said earlier, the our new pro-life generation, because someday you and I will be passing the baton on to one of these millennials, I think is what
yes.
we call them nowadays, and they will continue the fight. And you know, and then they'll pass it on to someone from there. But, you know, science is on our side, Peggy. You know, when you look at a 4D ultrasound
mm-hmm.
and you see the baby in the womb, I'm assuming we're all on Facebook or some form of social media. We all are. Ohio Right to Life has its own Facebook page, and I'm sure the station does here too. And you'll come across, when you're scrolling through your feed, when you have a chance, you know, you'll see pictures of 4D ultrasounds, and you know, look at this amazing baby or development in the womb. So science is actually helping the pro-life movement.
Absolutely.
And it's not a blob of tissue. It's not a choice. It's
exactly.
not a hindrance. And these kids are seeing it, because where are kids? On Facebook.
Yes, and they see it because of friends, cousins, relatives, mm-hmm. aunts. moms, I mean, they'll bring out their ultrasound pictures.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And it's great. You know, Heartbeat's developed a new app for our pregnancy centers where when a girl has an ultrasound in our pregnancy center, it can be downloaded in real time, the baby moving in the womb onto her cell phone, you know, through this app.
That's
and she
amazing.
Can go back and show it. You know, in the old days, one of the things we like to do, and sidewalk counselors would do it too, if a person decided to choose life, we would give them some baby booties because it was important to go back and show that to the father of the child, to their own mother, to the grandmother, people who might be putting pressure on her to have an abortion. Seeing those little baby booties sometimes made a difference. Well, think what a difference it makes to see the ultrasound of their own grandchild, or for the father of the child, his own child there. I mean, it makes a gigantic difference. So families, yes, absolutely. And the ultrasound and having that available. By the way, I don't want to forget to reintroduce you, Mike, because okay. Some of our listeners may have just come to join us. My guest today is Mike Gonadakis. For 10 years, he's in his 10th year as president of Ohio Right to Life Society, which focuses in, as I like to think of it, on the supply side of limiting abortion, trying to decrease the numbers of abortion and ultimately end abortion through legislation, through regulation of abortion clinics, and cutting the numbers of abortions through legislative, political, and judicial activities. So thank you for that, Mike.
Thank you, Patty. I appreciate that.
But we're focusing today on the fact that we do have the new pro-life generation. And how is that happening? And one of the major reasons for that is not just the work of Ohio Right to Life or the work of pregnancy help centers, which is, of course, my area of commitment and calling, but it is within our families. What's happening in the families today? And how can families do an even better job of what they're already doing? Maybe they don't even realize how much they are crucial in developing this pro-life generation. We've talked about adoption in families, what a model, what an example that gives of welcoming children and respecting the value of every human life. One of the things I was thinking of, too, is how many families today have what we sometimes call crisis pregnancies, untimely pregnancies, and they're choosing life. You know, the numbers of abortions are going down because
Absolutely.
Many people still in very difficult situations are choosing life. My husband and I know many families, friends of ours, whose children and grandchildren have gotten pregnant before they got married. They could have had abortions. They might have even considered abortion, but they chose life. And that's been a tremendous example in those families. People have nieces, nephews, grandchildren who could have been aborted. They know they could have been aborted, and yet their mother chose life, sometimes in a very difficult situation. And that person is now a very loved and welcomed member of their family. So we're seeing that very much today.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't agree more, and you said it so well. I couldn't repeat that as well as you said it. Because even in my own family, my own extended family, that specific fact pattern has taken place, and I have a beautiful niece now. I think she's second cousin. I don't know. One of those. But she's just fantastic. And,
yeah.
and again, of course, we all want for our children the best, you know, go to college, go to law school, become a doctor, and then meet the man or the woman of your dreams and have two kids and a wife. Yeah. I get that. But life happens, as we said, right? And when those situations occur, you know, how do we handle it? And the world has shrunk because of social media. There's a lot of negatives of social media. I get that. But there's also positives because parents now don't have to feel like, well, I'm the only one, or what are my friends going to think? You know, I mean, you know, life comes at you fast. There's a commercial
out there that
talks about that. But, but you know, what we do is, you know, we can see that our friends, our neighbors have dealt with the situation, and the outcome of making the right decision, praying
is
about
beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Yeah.
Seeing these children run around and grow up, and then, you know, you'll see grandma and grandpa attending high school football games and what have you, that, you know, cheerleading and stuff. So, you know, when we open up our hearts and our eyes to see that this isn't just happening to my family, it's happened to a lot of families, and the decisions, the positive decisions that are made are the right ones. That's why we continue to have a pro-life generation, because of our family. And I would say, look at our churches, look at our parishes, our Respect Life groups. 20, 30 years ago, the Respect Life groups, I would say, would just, they would and I'm not saying the only thing, but they would focus a lot on their worship outside of abortion clinics. Pro-life, respect life groups today at our parishes, you know, they'll help with Habitat for Humanity as well as outside the clinics. They'll help mm-hmm. with a charity that helps single women, you know. So right. you're seeing these youth say, look, I'm pro-life, but I'm going to be pro-life to help her and make sure she has, or I'm going to donate my time at the pregnancy center too. Right. And you'll see these awesome millennial groups say, hey, we're going to do a volunteer Saturday day at a pregnancy center, mm-hmm. you know, on top of, you know, standing outside of abortion clinic and counseling and what have you. So you're seeing them that there's many tools in the tool belt, which is bringing the fabric of the pro-life movement inside and internal.
Right. And as you were talking about that, Mike, yeah, I was thinking of many of our church groups are doing baby showers now for single moms, yes. you know? Yes. And there was a time when my husband and I first got involved in this movement where if a girl got pregnant before she was married, she was often ostracized
yes.
from her own family, you know, and it was a sad situation. And in fact, the Catholic schools here in the Diocese of Columbus had a policy that if a girl was pregnant, she was automatically expelled. Mm. That was changed fairly quickly. But we do, you know, it does. What do I want to say? There's a challenge for our families in that we don't. We need to uphold God's truth as well, don't
Indeed.
We, within the family, and hold up that plan that he has for us, which reserves sexual intimacy for marriage between a man and a woman. And we need to uphold that and teach our children that. And yet, like you said, life happens. When someone falls, in the old days, we might say fall mm-hmm. out of grace. Mm-hmm. What's our response to that? Mm-hmm. Is our response condemnation, or is our response acceptance and love? And the fact that we need to teach that forgiveness is possible. Of course,
Indeed.
Forgiveness is what we need to focus on. Mm-hmm. And we need to accept. And we still also need to teach the truth in love. That's a challenge for families, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, and I don't want to come across as promoting out of wedlock pregnancy because I'm not.
Right,
you know,
right.
But again, these things happen, you know,
yes,
every day.
Yes.
And it's not just one segment of our society. It's happens.
And then
in every
what
family.
Would God, what would Jesus do? Remember those
yes,
verses?
Yes,
what would Jesus
yes.
do? Mm-hmm. And I think he's taught us in many ways in the scripture. One of my favorites is the woman caught in adultery. You know, where, you know, he said, he is without sin, cast the first stone. And so we need to understand that this is the human condition, but that's why love and forgiveness and mercy is available. And then let's welcome that child, because every child is made in the image and likeness of God.
Absolutely. And how we raise that child, you weren't the oops child. I know people joke about that from time to time, but think about what that kid thinks if you were the mistake child, you know, so
I know.
How that child is raised and loved in that family mm-hmm. and is critical. And that's why we are winning this. Cause I always say passing one law, Peggy, will not end abortion, or opening one additional pregnancy center won't, but it starts with the family.
Mm-hmm.
Passing laws are important. Having strong pregnancy centers are important. But if we have a breakdown in the family, or we don't have a family promoting the love and the things that you've mm-hmm. just said, then
and living that out.
And living
yes,
it out
absolutely.
Publicly, very publicly.
You know, one of the other things I want to bring up, Mike, is abortion within families.
Mm.
More and more families, unfortunately, not only have seen family members who have had unexpected pregnancies and chosen life, but sometimes they've chosen abortion. And then what? And we have seen so much in the pregnancy centers, people who have been wounded by abortion. And it mm-hmm. not only wounds the mother who so-called chooses abortion, but often that is coercion in many ways, but it affects the father of the child. It affects the grandparents. It affects the siblings of that child. And it affects in many ways the parenting of the person who's had an abortion, the mother and the father. How do they parent their living children or children that come along afterwards? And it's a major, major issue that we really need to focus in on. Over 50% of all abortions are done on women who have already had at least one abortion. So healing is something we always have to be so aware of, cognizant of, and promoting and offering and letting people know that it's available. And there are many, many opportunities for healing now.
I couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. And you know, the abortion advocates will say that it's no different than a medical procedure, a hip replacement, a knee, which it obviously is not.
Right.
It's a permanent stain
mm-hmm.
on you and your mm-hmm. family and the psychological effects
the
it
wound.
Has.
It's the a wound.
It
a
absolutely
wound. Yes.
is. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're blessed in the church here with Judy Schleter and mm-hmm. the work that she mm-hmm. does with the post-abortive ministry. Mm-hmm. So there are, you know, we continue every day to have yes. more and more avenues for women,
right.
whether it be while she's pregnant or post-abortive healing.
Right.
And that's a beautiful thing, what God has done to bring us together to reach our loving hand out, which builds the pro-life community.
Right. And you're referring to Bethesda Healing.
Yes, ma'am.
Which is available here in our diocese. And also healing is available through our pregnancy centers as well. And through private Christian psychologists and counselors, so forth, can help with that. I'd like to mention optionline.org, which is oh, yes. Heartbeat International's 24/7 call center, which answers calls not just for people with pregnancy issues, but also post-abortion, and we can help people be connected to post-abortion help anywhere in the world, actually, with optionline.org.
There are countless human beings walking this earth because of optionline.org.
You oh,
have
thank you,
that, that hotline has saved so many lives,
thank you.
Baby and mom, and God
you.
Bless you for doing that.
Yes, we believe we're saving about 3,000 a week.
Amazing.
But we are also seeing that as the numbers of abortion go down, picture that line and a trajectory going down, the number of people choosing life instead of abortion is going up. And eventually, and we're estimating maybe in as soon as 5 years from now, the numbers of people choosing life instead of abortion will surpass those choosing abortion. So we're on a trajectory for more and more life choices. But my heart always goes out to those who have had abortions, and they will continue to have abortions without healing. So we need to bring that to them, and that then brings it to their family as well. So, well, Mike, we're winding up our program. Unfortunately, we could be talking about this for a long time, couldn't we?
Sure. This went fast.
Okay, would you mention the Ohio Right to Life website?
Thank you. It's ohiolife.org. That's ohiolife.org.
And I'm mentioning optionline.org for pregnancy help, the two parts of the pro-life movement, the supply side and the demand side. Thank you, Mike, for
Thank
being
you so
our
much.
Guest. And you are listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, archives at stgabrielradio.com and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. We're broadcast, the Family Sanctuary, that is, at 12:30 every Monday and 2 o'clock on Sundays. So join us again to strengthen our families and make them sanctuaries of life as God intended.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Veni Sancti.